Guys, and welcome to The Pulse. We say it every week that the best part of this show is the people that we get to bring on, all the information they share. They're all doing amazing things. And today we have another one of those people. I hesitate to define her because she does so many things. I'm going to let her define herself. She's actress, comedian, and there I go defining her. Amanda Seales joins us on The Pulse. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you doing this with us. I know you're a little busy right now.
Yes. But in a good way. I'm not complaining. I am busy. I've got shows and I'm actually going to be in Philly on November 12th doing stand-up at the Miller Theater. So really excited to be doing that. There was an attempt to cancel that show. So the fact that we are still doing it is absolutely major, and that folks are buying tickets and coming out is such a great thing because Philly has always shown me love. And I am about to be launching my syndicated radio show with Reach Media and Urban One in November, on November 7th, and we will be launching in Philly on 100.3 WRMB.
Absolutely. I saw you running up the Rocky Steps on your Instagram page. So you're all in.
Yes, we're going around Philly and, hitting the tourist spots, because definitely people told me, Philly folks don't be running them steps, but there were a lot of people running them steps.
There, every day. Don't let them tell you that. Everybody always tries to give you the, Philly, we're like that. You're a little bit of an outsider, so we're going to criticize you. Nobody gets the cheesesteak there, and then the line's around the corner. I know,
One thing I love about Philly, though, is Philly is a land of real ones. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Philly is the land of real ones. So it is serendipitous that would be the first place that my syndicated radio show would be launching, because I'm a real one.
You'll get no argument here. So we'll all be watching that and a bunch of different things that you're doing. I started off kind of the whole, I'm not going to define you, and you that quickly just put out all the different things that you've been doing. Do you even define yourself, or how do you define yourself?
I mean, I guess like the thing that people say now is multi-hyphenate, somebody who does a number of different things in the creative space, or, really basically just has a number of different streams of interest. For me, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm 41 and I've been working since I was 8 in the entertainment space. So I've had a lot of just time and experience in figuring out like the stuff that I want to master, the stuff that I want to continue to work on. And at this point, it really is just, just being able to have my own voice in as many spaces as possible where I can be myself. And so sometimes that voice is one that is speaking about, politics, and, that's like radio is a space where I can speak about politics and relationships and pop culture and do all of that with my humorous tone. Boom. But then we have like the stage, right? So I can come on stage and do my stand up, and we're going to make y'all laugh and think at the same time, but that's going to be an art form in itself, doing stand up. And then there's also like my podcast, right? Small Doses is my podcast where I'm basically like doing self-help from a humorous point of view. And we have guests, and I talk about everything from side effects of anxiety to side effects of, your partner's potential, et cetera. Like, so I just feel like I explore these different spaces, but as long as I can be myself in those spaces, I consider them to be valuable.
I feel like, my background was talk radio. So I did talk radio for years, and I've known you for 3-4 minutes. So I can't really sit back and say I have any background. I feel like that's a great space for you, because in kind of doing the research, you said you just like having that voice, like talking to people. You kind of figure out what you're going to talk about as you get on stage or as you start the show. Is that why something like radio is appealing?
Well, radio was my first job out of college. I started at Sirius Satellite Radio March of my senior year. So it's kind of a comfortable space that I really found my voice in early on. And then I just dovetailed out into other things. And so to come back to this space, it feels like I'm coming back to a comfortable space where I've already kind of know like the technical stuff, but to your point, I can now add to it just the identity awareness and the emotional knowledge that I have at this point, and just like the world experience that I have at this point. So yes, it does feel like a really natural medium to go to, not only because it is a space that is made for the voice and made for speaking, but also because it's a space that's not foreign to me.
It's so a lot of people right now know you for Insecure, even though you were saying, you know, going all the way back to Nickelodeon. So you're not new to this.
No, I am true to this.
Yes. But a lot of people know Insecure, at least, you know, at least recently. That's what a lot of people know. And it seems like that space and a lot of the other things you're doing, I guess, helped cemented the whole she's just real and comfortable in her own skin. And, you know, you're
I don't think Insecure had anything to do with that.
So that was pre-Insecure.
Well, I think Insecure, I'm acting, you know? So, I mean, it's not like you're getting to see, like, me be comfortable in my own skin because I'm literally in another person's skin. It's a character. I think it's more so, you know, just a confluence of my interviews and then my takes on social media and then my book and my podcast. Like, it's the places where you show up as yourself and then it's consistent. I think over the course of the pandemic, what happened is a lot of people ended up coming up to me after, like, well, not after, because we're not out of it, but as we started to come outside, a lot of people started coming up to me and saying that I, like, got them through the pandemic. And I thought that was just really, for lack of a better word, major, because I was really just in my own space, just, like, getting through the pandemic like everybody else. And social media was a tool in that process because it made me feel less alone, I guess, or less constricted, since I'm so used to getting to be on stage and performing. It kind of was like my only connection to, you know, that audience interaction. But nonetheless, like, there were real things going on during this pandemic, from, you know, George Floyd's murder to the insurrection to people posting black squares on Instagram to try and act like they're down with black folks and they really have no idea what that really means. Like, there were just things to talk about. Yeah. And I really just, that was kind of like the only space to do so. So I think that, compiled with just how I've shown up in other spaces where other people may have felt more compelled to just play a polite role than to, like, shake the table, has been really more so the reason why folks have begun to trust me in that way.
Has that been you? Like, even before, I guess, people, because you've been doing this for a minute, but have you been the person who's been comfortable taking on those challenges, those issues, putting yourself out in front of, you know, some really controversial topics?
I've been that person since I was three.
Really?
Like, I've literally been that person my whole life. Like, when I was three and the teacher told our class we were stupid, like, I came home and told my mom, the teacher told our class we were stupid. Like, she was up in that class the next day. Like, but that's always, I mean, I got in trouble in high school because our art teacher was teaching us about Aborigine art, and she referred to the Aborigines of Australia as a Stone Age people. And my hand shot up in that sky so fast. I was like, that is incorrect. They're not a Stone Age people. Like, they have been, they are ancient peoples who are absolutely a part of current day civilization as well. And she, like, called up to my mom, and we had to have a whole deep meeting with the dean because Amanda was correcting the teacher in front of the class. I've always been this person.
So where'd it come from?
I mean, probably just, you know, one, my mom is not here for play. Okay. She just ain't never been about that life. And then two, you know, culturally, you know, I mean, I am a black woman and we ain't here for play in general. And three, my mother is from Grenada. Grenadians as a culture are a very outspoken and political people. I mean, you know, Malcolm X's mother was Grenadian. So, like, there's a trend, you know. Maurice Bishop is a very well, you know, loved and respected leader that was taken down by a firing squad in Grenada after America, you know, stepped in. And that's a whole longer conversation. But the point is that I feel like I've just always been around I was fostered in a culture of, if you're gonna let misinformation be delivered in front of you and not challenge it, then you are enabling it.
So has it changed in doing that?
You don't feel like that?
No, I absolutely agree with that. I think that the that you got from me is that there's not, no, that was so much passion. Hmm. What just happened? No, I think what's interesting, particularly when we do this show, I think that a lot of people feel that way, that you have to kind of, or you should challenge the types of things that are wrong or people are being hurt. But a lot of people, especially when they ascend to the level of exposure that you have, are less comfortable doing it. You know, as you have more to lose, people tend to hide behind that and are not as willing to step out there and take on those challenges. And that was the hmm, because you're very, you are very seemingly very comfortable stepping up and doing that, almost as if everybody would.
But I'm not here doing that though.
Okay.
Like that's the irony, you know what I'm saying? Like I've like the ascension that you speak of has literally, you know, very much in part been based on me being my authentic self and being that person who's going to say the thing. And I think the reason why it was an ascension is because I have an uncanny knack for linguistics. Like I'm really good at expressing myself and getting a point across in a succinct and like clear way, right? So, and that's part of me coming from a poetry background and a rap background. Like I'm a master with words. Like I'm really good at that. But I think a lot of folks, like even if that's how they feel, that isn't necessarily like a part of what their route has been. And so once they get to a certain point on their route that they were doing simultaneously, they're like, oh, well, this is a thing I have to like leave out now. Or I need to find another way to do it that's maybe more surreptitious, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like, I use my voice. Some people use their money. I use my money as well, but I don't have as much money as other people do.
Got a louder voice than money.
I got a lot of voice, though. Got a lot of voice.
So you, that's what we should be doing. And that, and you on one of your social media posts that I saw, you're kind of holding people accountable for that. Like there's no excuse for having a position of power and not using it to help people. How do people respond to that?
I mean, I think for the most part, my like following on Instagram, like the people who are following me on Instagram that were responding to that post, they agree, you know? And I think for the most part, we try and hold ourselves to that standard, but a lot of times there's things that get in the way. I mean, sometimes it's as basic as like, folks just don't want to feel uncomfortable, you know? And if you're gonna have to step outside of a precedent that may have already been set, that may be uncomfortable. You know, like capitalism, for instance, like I feel like that post was mostly about just like, you know, if you are in like a capitalist place of power and you are not using that to help other people, then you're really just letting the bad things happen. Like you're supporting that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, the people that align with me agree with that and will hold other people to that expectation. So I think it wasn't like I got a lot of pushback from that. But, you know, of course you're gonna get people who are like, well, you know, everyone has their reasons and everyone does. I mean, I'm sure I have missed the mark on that at some point in my life. I'm sure. And, you know, anytime I feel like I've been conscious of it, I've done my very, very best to reverse or to step in and bring that light to somebody else.
The public and the people who follow you on social media, of which I am one of them, I think the nature of following you is we at least are in line with the things that you're saying and want to hear more of it. Now you're doing, how do your peers feel about that? Because you will hold people in Hollywood and other places very accountable as well. How do they feel about that? As I was preparing for this interview, one of our producers upstairs said, now understand, Amanda's not to be messed with.
Correct.
So be prepared to come down.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm coming at people next. Like, I think it's weird that like, there's like this weird, hyperbolic version of me that people have, like I'm coming around with a pitchfork, like what you talking about, Willis, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, first of all, rarely do I even like say people's names directly. There's a lot of people that I can just address behind the scenes, you know, like there's people that I've definitely said like, hey, like what's that? And then there's people who have come to me and been like, what's that about, you know? Okay. But then there's people that you have to say their name. Like when I see Isaiah Washington, like boldly sitting up there with DJ Vlad talking about how Aaliyah at 15 had control of her relationship with R. Kelly, who impregnated her as a young woman and then tried to have her married to him. I'm like, I got to say your name. You are wilding. And that is like boldly disgusting language to hear from an adult. That being said, you know, there's other stuff that, you know, is just like me speaking. And if you feel, if someone feels like it's talking about them, then it's like, well, that's the hit dog hollering. But I think it's really the medium of Instagram to be like making people feel like you're talking directly to them. Cause if you think about it, when you're looking at the phone and I'm looking at my phone talking, you feel like, damn, she's talking to me.
Right. or is she talking to me?
Right. And it's like, did I say your name? Like, did I say your name, Mr. Anderson? No.
Yeah. When you talked about that and Aaliyah and those situations and some of the other things you've spoken out about, it's interesting because the topics where you will go at the topic, let's not say at the people, they don't seem like things that should be that controversial.
Brother, that's my point. Like, it's not like I'm pulling something out from like under a rug, like, wait a minute, now let's not, it's not a gotcha thing. It's 9 times out of 10, I feel like most people are saying the exact same thing. They just don't have a platform of 2 million people, or they may not feel like they can because they may not have like the words, or they may not feel comfortable articulating their point. And then when I say it, they're like,
that part.
See?
Like that part. Like that what part. She just said. Right. Hit like on social media.
Yes.
See, but I don't.
But you know, like so many people just don't feel seen, like in their sanity. We living in a crazy time.
Yeah.
Okay. We're like literally like even being smart, people be trying to act like that's ableist. So at this point, it's like, we have to still uphold like tenets of honesty and, you know, facts and just even the reality of like the importance of research and ethics, which has become just kind of like lost in the world of, I mean, journalism is like this in many cases, you know, all these editorial headlines. You're like, yeah. What does that even mean?
But you just pointed out that people have this kind of, you know, whether it's true or a myth, they have this image of you as the person who's going out there and confronting people and I'm coming at their necks and I'm going to correct all these things. And then we agree that the things that you're saying aren't or shouldn't be terribly controversial in nature. But doesn't that then imply that more people aren't doing it? Like if you're standing out because you are. Like, doesn't that imply that more people are not stepping up and speaking on these things that should, at least in theory, be obvious? It shouldn't be controversial to say, you know, sleeping with children, you know, is an issue.
I think the truth is that social media creates this, what's the word I'm looking for? Because social media is this platform where it's kind of like everyone has access to speak, there becomes this kind of expectation that anybody who's on that platform knows how to speak mm-hmm. or is willing to. So there's that. But then there's also just like not everybody, like I was saying earlier, like not everybody is outspoken in the same way. And not everybody like considers social media as like their megaphone. For some people, it's just like, this is where I post pictures of me. So for some people, like, it's like, this is where I, you know, update you guys on work I'm doing, etc. There's like an expectation that like every actor, every athlete, anyone with a platform should be speaking out about everything yeah. at all times. And it's just not realistic. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't love for that to be the case. I would love for people to all feel like I have a platform, so I need to speak out. But I also know that like not everybody knows about everything that's happening. Right. Like I'll get people that'll be like, why aren't you talking about bop, bop, bop? And it's like, baby, I didn't even know about that. Okay, I was visiting my mom and I was on my trampoline. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, so I think to your point, yes, I would love to see like more people speak about things. But I also know that this is a path that I have taken. And I think what I would like to see more is there to be an effort in media to show more critical eye around things versus running with a sensationalism angle that gets clicks, but that doesn't hold things up to a light of accountability, which is what journalism in its best form really does.
It's supposed to be. And I think that it applies, what you're saying about social media also applies to journalism. Like, we have this belief that somehow if people have a platform or have a following, that they necessarily have something to say or know what they're talking about. And we have to, yeah, we have to do a better job with who we're putting out there and who we're listening to.
We're in this like land of gossip blogs and like, you know, there used to always be tabloids, but I feel like it's now become just a far more reaching effort by a lot of places to just like be all up in people's lives versus like, you know, identifying like greater issues and more problematic things that are being done or being said. And that's why, like, in my stand-up, like, I really use my stand-up as a platform as well to be able to talk about things and bring humor into the conversation and keep people informed, because I don't think folks on just like an organic level are getting a lot of information that they would actually care to know about, like, their lives, how it's being dealt with legislatively, you know, like how people that they may have admired, like, maybe, you know, sending out messaging that's not something behind that, that they would get behind. Like, I consider myself informative, and I consider myself somebody who's like really grown to understand the value of seeking out information, right? Not just waiting for it to come to me. Like, that's been that's like a decision I had to make. I had to stop just like sitting pretty with my, you know, rose-colored glasses. And when I did that, though, like, it made my comedy better, you know, because my comedy is more informed, it's deeper, it's wider, it's more relatable because of that. So I consider it to be just a different time that we're in, where I would like to see just more folks take at least the route, if you're not going to be speaking up more, at least take the route of encouraging folks to be more informed.
Now, November 12th, you're in Philly at the Miller Theater. Yeah. For people in Philly, it's part of the Kimmel campus. It used to be the Merriam Theater. A lot of people have been there, and we encourage everybody to come. You just started to touch on it, but in a real city, you know, what are people coming to see when they come see you at the Miller Theater?
I mean, when you come to an Amanda Steele show, you're going to get a range of things. You know, you're going to get me talking about, like, why Clarence Thomas is, like, how did we get a Clarence Thomas? Like, what happened in this child's life that we got this fish-looking man acting up?
Okay.
What happened? Okay? You're going to get that, but then you're also going to get, like, the difference between, you know, dating a hood brother and a brother from the hood. There are differences. And you're gonna get stories, you're gonna get commentary on Roe v. Wade, on gun control, on me growing up in Orlando. But the most important thing that you're gonna get is my typical brand of no nonsense, keeping it 100, and really trying to like get folks to think about things in a way that they may not have thought about, and do it through comedy. You know, that's the whole point of this comedy thing. It's like, we're living these lives, and comics, we're sent here to make these lives that we're living that much more interesting by pointing out the funny things that are happening within them. And my task as a comic is doing that with the stuff that may not even seem like there's anything funny about it. But
well, and doing it at a time where people are a little hard on comedy right now, like like people are not as open perhaps as we once were to allowing comedians to be comedians.
I mean, I think for what it's worth, like, people are just a lot more aware of their own voices, right? So that's really what it is. People have now more than ever been able to be like, I don't like this. For a long time, there's only certain people that had access to being able to say that. So now we have folks that can, you know, really speak up, and it kind of is going to bleed into every area. And so it's bled into comedy. I mean, I've gotten it sometimes, but ultimately the comic's job is to make people laugh. If that person doesn't make you laugh, don't support that person. And, you know, I think there's an effort that gets made a lot of times to be like, if I don't like this, it shouldn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said for that in other spaces outside of art. But I do think it is everyone's right to say when they don't think that something is good for society, or they don't think that something is good for them. But I also feel like at the end of the day, artists is gonna art. So
okay.
The best way, you know, the artist is gonna art. And as long as folks are able to have a voice and they're able to say loudly how they feel about someone's art.
I feel like you're ready for the radio show. We could keep talking, and I'm looking at the clock and time is running out. So I'm going to have to let you go in a minute, right?
Yes.
Maybe I'll come on. You come to Philly. We'll have to have you in studio and we can just sit back and keep talking about issues. Two more things. I'll let you go. So the radio show.
Yes.
You got the comedy routine, kind of having Philadelphia see you up close and personal, and then the radio show, and we'll expect more of the same, just open, authentic you.
You know what? The radio, I mean, listen, the thing about radio, though, is like, you getting me every day.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's that. You getting me every day, and I want to make sure. I literally made a spreadsheet of like the grid for our radio schedule and our segments, et cetera, and color coded the stuff that's kind of serious and the stuff that's funny to make sure that I'm giving y'all a balance of funny, but also focused. Okay. Because that is really the full version of me. I'm an intense person.
No,
but...
stop it.
But like, I'm also, you know, silly and a fool. So I want to be able to show all of that, because I know that's a lot of people. We are multidimensional. And I know that on my Instagram, like, I feel like there's people who only know about me because of seeing me in other spaces. So they only get a certain version of me. If you've been in my social media space, or you've been to my shows, et cetera, you will see like, oh, this person has dynamics, and we're going to bring that to the radio. And I want to make sure that we bring the people to the radio. I want people to call in. I want to be able to bring people's voices. Like, we have a segment called Things I Learned This Week that we're going to do every week on Friday. And like, I want people to call in and tell me what they learned this week. They may have learned that state senators are the ones who come up with the laws for your state. They may have learned their kid might call in and be like, I learned multiplication. You know what I'm saying? Like, they may have learned that, you know, the person that they've been seeing for a long time wants to marry them, and they got engaged. Yay! You know, like, I just feel like I want this show to not just be me talking at people, but talking with people.
I feel like you're going to have no shortage of content. Like, you will be like, how long is this show? 3-4 hours a day?
It's 4 hours a day.
Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be fine. I'm not the least bit worried about that, and I'm excited to listen to it. We end every episode of The Pulse with the concept, use your voice for good. It means different things to different people. Sometimes it's charity events. Sometimes it's holding people accountable. I can only imagine. But what does use your voice for good mean for you?
Use your voice for good means for me, use your voice for good vibes. Use your voice for good tidings, and use your voice for good efforts at being a good person.
I like it. If I had a mic that wasn't attached, we could drop it and leave it there.
That's what's up.
I appreciate you doing it.
Great questions. I appreciate you.
This was fun. Next time you're in Philly, seriously, come in, sit down. We got another space. You come down and we'll just talk.
Well, I'll be in Philly before the show. So please, y'all, make sure you get your tickets to the Miller Theater on November 12th. Mm-hmm. I'm just super excited. I haven't done stand-up in Philly since like 2018, I think. So I'm long overdue to be on stage in Philly. And we want to make sure that we do our best to sell this show out and show Live Nation that Philly rocks with your girl, Amanda Seales.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not. You're going to sell out. You'll be all right.
But I'm just, listen, I'm on a mission to prove these people wrong. Okay. So Philly, come rock with your girl. Come rock with your girl.
This was fun. I will see you soon. We'll see you in Philly.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You have a
good
one.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to The Pulse today with Amanda Seales. I had no idea what to expect after having done research and learning more about Amanda Seales and all of her success and being told that she is a real one. And it is my, I am happy to find out. It was my pleasure to find out that she is all those things and more. Somebody who stands up for issues. Somebody who is outspoken and unafraid. Somebody who cares about her community and all of you, and somebody I am happy to have had on The Pulse. A reminder, if you ever want to watch the show on TV in Philadelphia, you can check us out 6:30 p.m. on Mondays on Fox 29 in Philly. We, of course, also air nationally on Fox Soul, and every episode can be found on YouTube. Just go and search for The Pulse with Bill Anderson. We certainly appreciate you. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on the podcast so you get a notification every time we have a new episode like today's with Amanda Seales. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, information, you can always reach out to me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. I'm going to take a breath and leave you as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good. And have a good one.